Some teachers understand that from the time of the city of Corinth to now, it's very similar to some of the very same dynamics that are taking place. In the city of Corinth, it was an area of great debate, and that's why he calls these Greeks, he says, "You that debate," because they would come and they would have teachers that would come to them with great intellect, and they would use great eloquence in their words, and that from that people were astonished, and they would come and they would surround themselves with these people that they looked at as having this great wisdom, this great intellect. And but what it was doing, see, fruit, isn't it something? We're called to be known by, Jesus said, we will be known by our fruit. Paul tells the Galatians, God will not be mocked. Whatever a man sows, that man, he will reap that. And so what are they trying to communicate to us? That the fruit of the wisdom. So these people were setting their sights, and Paul says, do you not see the absolute chaos all around your society? Let me ask you that question this morning. Do we not see the absolute chaos around our society? The pride, what is knowledge, what does it do? It puffs up, doesn't it? Man's wisdom, man's intelligence puffs up, and we think we're smart. We're so intelligent. Think of that in relationship, because they could certainly understand it as they looked around into the moral decay of their society, to the family structures that were being destroyed and torn apart by immorality, by the divisions and the strife and the fighting that was taking place. You see, they could simply and certainly understand what was taking place in their society, and they were looking at it and saying, oh, I can't believe this. Do we not have that same understanding? Can we not, with that same discernment, look around and say, we are supposed to be the most successful, the certainly advanced, because they understood that in their culture, and we also, but yet the wisdom, the wisdom of this world, what Paul is declaring here is such truth, but it only will come to those who have ears to hear. See, it's folly to those who are perishing. Doesn't it say that in verse 18? It's folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. What is the power of God? The power of God is that the gospel, that God created us for relationship with him. But because of sin, and sin that is rampant in a society, it separates us from God. And because of that separation, we needed a redeemer. We needed someone to bring forgiveness. And because of God's love for this world that he created, and the very essence of who God is love, that he sent his only son, who was without sin, to become sin for us, the simple message of the gospel, and that because of that, but if we do not have ears to hear, we will think this is foolishness. We will allow the pride to become blinding to us, and we will not understand our need of a Savior. The simple message of the gospel. And so Paul says, I am not coming to you with worldly wisdom or intellect or eloquent words, but I'm coming to you with this message that don't allow this pride to blind you to your real need. Some people continue to go through their life and they think that it's about what they can attain and acquire and accomplish. And at the end, they are the fools, because they have sought for something that never satisfies. What profits a man to gain to acquire, to accomplish, to attain this whole world, yet lose his own soul. He was speaking to people that if they would have ears to hear, this morning I am speaking to people, if you have ears to hear what God's Spirit is speaking to you right now, you will come out of the blindness of arrogance, out of your own abilities, your own wisdom, your own talents, and you will understand that apart from Christ, you can accomplish nothing, that you are separated from him. Last week we had a young man that stood up here, and he's lived at our Hope House now for 10 months and found Christ in a cell in our county and is now just walking with Christ. And he shared the story of his life in a snapshot. We caught a glimpse of a life that was separated, a life that had no hope and was living in despair. But now you see him understanding the value of his life, the wealth of his life. Why? In the context of Christ redeeming him and saying, I didn't call you to live in this place of despair and addiction and hopelessness. I didn't call you to live for the moment. And now to see him, just received a text from him yesterday, last night, and he was telling me about just, because now he's moved into his own apartment and we've helped him with some things to establish his own apartment. And now he's gaining connection with people in his life that were family members that were cut off, and to see the restoration, the transformation. See, that's the power of the gospel. That's not the wisdom of man. That's not going through some social program and saying, you just have to try a little harder. You have to just put your mind to this a little bit more. Can't you accomplish this? No, it's the gospel. See, the folly, the foolishness is that we think that we can do something. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, he says, for I'm not ashamed of this gospel. I'm not ashamed of the good news. I'm not ashamed that before Christ, I was lost without hope. There was nothing that I could do. I'm not ashamed of the good news of Christ that says, I'm wretched and separated from him, but he is faithful to me, and he loves me, and he calls me out of darkness. And then we live understanding the gift that we've been given. We understand how we should cherish that gift and understand the gift. And so we live in praise and thanksgiving and say, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. Do you understand what Paul was saying? He said, I tried all these other things. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. What does that mean? He spent his life studying Jewish religion, the faith, but it accomplished nothing. Because why? Because Christ was absent, and it was based in his own abilities, his own works. See, you can go to church your whole life, but if you don't simply come to the understanding of Christ, just was a part of a funeral service for a lady yesterday and grew up in church, but never hid the simple message of the gospel that Jesus came. Jesus loves me so much that he came to lay down his life for me. And by experiencing the mercy where we come to him and say, forgive me, Christ. Forgive me. I can do nothing. I can't go through classes. I can't attend enough church. I can't give enough. All those things that man has elevated as something that is not the gospel. But yet her son came to her and said, Mom, do you understand the simple message of Christ? That he loves you. That he came. That he took your sin. And all you have to do is ask him to forgive you and surrender your life to him and say, fill me now with your spirit. See, that's being born again. That's not going through this baptism or this class or any of that. That's experiencing the simple. See, the simple message of the gospel is so simple that our own intellect will come as a barrier and say it's too simple for that. Paul's saying all these things are going on in your culture. Do you not see your need of a savior? I am saying this morning to you, do you not see everything that is going on in our culture? Do you not see a need for a savior? Oh, I'm believing that. Our church is filled up with people that are seeking after an answer that they have not found in the intellect and the wisdom and the knowledge of this world. Because they're coming to that point. Why does Jesus say we must become like children to come to him? because we come in a place of humility, a teachability. We come in that place. This morning you're here, you're listening, and you're humble enough to say, I don't have everything that I need. I don't have all the answers that I so desperately seek. I can't find joy anywhere. But I know that Christ is the answer. Paul's saying, I'm not ashamed of this gospel. Why? Because it's the power of God to salvation. Now listen, to everyone who does one thing, who believes. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Why is it the crook on the cross could experience the wonderful redemption and forgiveness of Christ? Today you will be with me in paradise because he believed. Jesus stands between two crooks and on each one on each side, and one believes and one doesn't. One scoffs and ridicules and says, if you are the Son of God, call yourself, call your angels, come down, save us. See, he was looking at it by the world standards, but the other one said, I need a Savior today because I know what's ahead of me. See, when we come to that revelation that we need a Savior, I'm so thankful for those that come at the last minute, the last hour. I'm so thankful for those that come as children. I'm thankful for everyone that comes because it's the power of God for salvation. It's the power of God to redeem us. Christ crucified. Christ crucified for me. Set apart for me. I love to hear stories of people that they left everything to say, I got to follow Christ. I'm telling you, I'm seeing more and more people that are understanding where we're headed. I was so blessed to hear about what happened at the campus of Auburn and how they had a gathering there of students, and the simple message of the gospel was shared there. And then a young person that found Christ there asked to be baptized. They wanted to be baptized that night. Why? What does that mean? When you experience Christ, see, Jesus calls us into that. And so baptism is really a testimony of our lives that's saying, I've heard the gospel. I've heard the gospel. What Paul tells the Romans is it's like a death to the old. And when you come out of that water with immersion, baptism, into water, and you come out, see, there's something so significant about that because it's a new birth. And what happens is then the testimony of our life, the old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. It's the power of the gospel. It's the transformation that begins. And so there was so many. I cannot tell you how many. I saw some pictures, and what they did is they said there's a pond on campus. I think we should go to that pond. And so they just said and there's hundreds and thousands of kids there. Does that not remind you that the power of the gospel is not, it has the authority to save. Here's kids that are saying, I want higher education, but they're understanding that higher education is not dealing with the gnaw in their heart for the immorality and for the despair that they've lived under through all the vices of the enemy. They're understanding that we need the power of the gospel. And when it's preached and they have ears to hear, they say, this is what we've been looking for. We used to see bumper stickers that would say, Jesus is the answer. Well, I can tell you that even though you might not see those bumper stickers, that truth is still the truth. And it's a truth that this world needs to see. We had a lady in our church that said she wanted to have a t-shirt. And so she asked another lady who makes t-shirts in our church. And so she said to this lady, she said, could you make me a t-shirt that says simply on it, Jesus lives in me? And so her husband came to a meeting. We were having a leadership meeting, And he was wearing that shirt, and he said, yeah, I went out to breakfast with this shirt on. And he said, you couldn't believe how many comments I got about this. How people said, really? I like that shirt. What it declares the simple message, Jesus lives in me. Apart from him, I can do nothing. But with him, all things are possible. Hundreds of students walked that half mile down the road that night to enter a pool or enter this pond and to be baptized. Why? Because it's the power of God. Maybe some stood in the distance and said, what is going on over there? And they said, that's foolishness. Oh, it's the power of God. It's the power of God. See, what we have to understand is the wisdom of this world, like it says, is perishing. Over in chapter 2, it says, in verse 6, yet among the mature, we impart wisdom, although it is not wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret hidden wisdom which God's decreed before the ages for our glory. What no eye has seen, it's been prepared for us. Nor has the ear heard, nor has the heart of man even been able to imagine what God has prepared for those who love him. What I want you to understand here is the wisdom of this world is passing away, but not to the man or the woman of God who does the will of God and follows the wisdom of God that believes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. It says this, that nothing can separate us from that. What does Paul say? Can hardships and persecution and even death separate us from that? No. Because of the promise that we've been given, that we have not even been able, mind cannot even imagine, conceive what God has prepared for those who love him. This last week, I stood with two families for funerals. But to know this, that we are not just showing up. The week before, I was at two graveside services. I don't just show up at them with a place of hopelessness, but I show up, hope on the Lord Jesus Christ. His message is still good. His message is still true. It's the power of the gospel. So Paul is telling a culture that says, we have wisdom, we have knowledge, we have intellect. And Paul says, it accounts for nothing. It will perish. It will pass away. Did you hear those two words? It will perish, it will pass away. Will you perish? Will you pass away? See, that's the valid question, isn't it? No. Where is your destiny? Are you believing some lie? I see people all the time that are trying to push this lie out of their mind that their life is temporal, but their spirit is eternal. You will either live in heaven or live in hell. Which is it? If you hear the wisdom of God today and the simple message of the gospel, that you will say, oh, Christ, forgive me. Christ, fill me. Thank you that you took my sins so I don't have to live condemned. What a powerful promise that is. And this morning, you can enter into that relationship with Christ and knowing he fills you with a peace and a hope because you've been forgiven. You've been set apart from your past. You don't have to live on death row condemned any longer, but you can experience the wonderful pardon of Christ where he says, oh no, I paid that price. I paid that debt. You don't have to live under the fear of one day you will die because perfect love will drive that back today. God so loved this world that he gave us his only son. Today, if you embrace that simple message, you can experience the peace of God. If you need that this morning, we're going to pray, and I believe people all over this region are going to experience the wonderful promises of Christ because it's not me. It wasn't Paul. This is the message of the gospel, and it's for all who believe. Will you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you ask him to forgive you? Will you surrender and say, fill me now? Thank you, Lord, that there are people that are experiencing that they're saying, that's not foolishness, what I just heard. That's the wisdom of God. Thank you for your convicting power right now. Thank you that you're drawing people, and God, you're releasing, God, them from living under shame and condemnation through repentance. Oh, just call on him. Ask him to forgive you right now. Just say simply, forgive me, Jesus. Today, would you come now? Would you fill people with a sense of God, freedom that gives them a peace and a joy that they have never known? And so we bless you and we thank you. We thank you that you're moving mountains and doing miracles right now for people. Oh God, lift off those weights. Lift off that fear right now. Perfect love, come in right now. Right now, more of your love. More of your peace. More hope right now for people that are so despairing. Today, God, lift off depression right now in the name of Jesus. Let it go. Begin to bring restoration and healing even in hearts and minds and bodies today. Because your word, you sent your word to declare truth and heal and restore and transform. And so we believe your word today. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. See, it's something about faith, and faith has come into your heart this morning. And now he's given you a gift. And so tell someone else about what Christ is doing in your life. Share that. Find a church where you can grow in your faith, or a community of believers. Begin to open his word, especially the Gospel of John, and begin to read, because you'll read the story of Jesus, and all of a sudden, what was clouded before in your mind will be open in your mind. You'll understand it. You couldn't understand it before because the Spirit of Christ didn't live in you. Now the Spirit of Christ lives in you, and he will open your mind to his truth. We are believing miracles today. We are believing mountains are moving right now for you. Bless your week. We are praying for you.
You've been listening to the broadcast ministry of Cornerstone Church in Ramsey, Michigan. Our service times are Wednesday nights at 6 o'clock and Sunday mornings at 9:30. Please visit our website at cornerstoneup.com or call us at 906-663-4700. Cornerstone Church, loving God, loving people, serving the world.
Here's your 98 Q Country weatherology forecast. A blend of clouds and sun today with highs around 82. Southerly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows around 59 tonight, mainly clear. Daytime highs approaching 80 tomorrow. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times Tuesday with daytime highs approaching 78. 67, chance for scattered rain showers Wednesday. Take a look at the extended forecast. 58 Thursday, 50 Friday, and 46 on Saturday. Another look at the short range, high of 82 today. Lows level off around 59 tonight. We should top off around 80 tomorrow. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley, and that's your forecast on 98 Q Country. Right now, 62.
Peace Lutheran Church in Park Falls, in cooperation with St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Butternut, now bring you the Lutheran Hour on 98 Q Country, each Sunday morning at 8:30.
If I could be you,
and you could be me, for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes,
walk a mile in my shoes,
walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out, and for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
My mom has decided to learn to paint, and she's good.
My dad's now into creative cuisine, and I've already put on 6 pounds.
Learning new things comes with age.
My mom, she started forgetting my name and what we're talking about.
Forgetting well-known things doesn't. Memory loss may be a sign of Alzheimer's disease. Early detection gives you and your loved one time to plan for the future. Learn the warning signs of Alzheimer's at 10signs.org. Brought to you by the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Oftentimes, the wheelchairs our veterans and first responders receive from their healthcare providers are subpar at best. Some are falling apart with a years-long waiting list for a new one. This lag causes a tremendous amount of stress for our heroes and creates a burden for their caregivers. Isolation leads to depression. We build what they need to get outdoors, hunting, fishing, or playing sports. Join the mission at wheelchairsforwarriors.org.
Here's your 98 Q Country weatherology forecast. A blend of clouds and sun today with highs around 82. Southerly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows around 59 tonight, mainly clear. Daytime highs approaching 80 tomorrow. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times Tuesday with daytime highs approaching 78. 67, chance for scattered rain showers Wednesday. Take a look at the extended forecast. 58 Thursday, 50 Friday, and 46 on Saturday. Another look at the short range. High of 82 today. Lows level off around 59 tonight. We should top off around 80 tomorrow. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley. And that's your forecast on 98 Q Country. Right now, 62.
The Lutheran Hour, bringing Christ to the nations. Life can leave us feeling lost and alone. Dr. Dean Natasdy offers a way through the maze.
When we feel like we're lost alone in a corn maze as the sun sets, then the gospel of Jesus Christ, our relationship with Christ, provides a way through and ultimately a way out.
And we'll talk with Dr. Tim Seleska about the Bible's angry Psalms.
The Psalms get your anger out, so to speak. Jesus tells us then, go love your neighbor. Go love your enemies. Turn the other cheek. Bring them the gospel. Let me do my work. Don't worry about it.
Coming up next here on the Lutheran Hour. Hi, this is Mark Eicher. Thanks for making the Lutheran Hour part of your day. And thank you for your faithful support. To learn how your gifts and prayers help to bring Christ to the nations and the nations to the church, go to LutheranHour.org. The Reverend Dr. Dean Natasdy is President Emeritus of the Minnesota South District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Now with a message titled, The Way Through the Maze, here is Dr. Natasdy.
Hear the word of the Lord from Psalm 25. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. Let us pray. When life becomes a maze, Lord, with no clear exit, take us through to the other side. Shepherd us, Lord, lead us and teach us along the way. In the name of Jesus, our way out and our way through. Amen. Among the many good things about fall in Minnesota, where I come from, is the corn maze. As if farmers didn't already have enough to do, some decide to cut pathways through 10-feet high stalks of corn that lead to twists and turns, switchbacks and dead ends, and ultimately, hopefully, a way out for those who enjoy walking their way through a good puzzle. One of the biggest corn mazes I've ever seen is the Stony Brook Farms maze in Foley, Minnesota. No less than 110 acres with 32 miles of twisting pathways. Some mazes cheat a bit and provide exit signs for the faint of heart who may get lost and panic. Usually the exit sign takes you to an outer circle around the maze. Most mazes, though, leave maze walkers to their own resources. The advice they give includes guidelines like, never walk a maze alone, never start your maze walk late in the day, be sure your phone is charged, have the owner's number handy if you get really lost. 911 calls, by the way, climb during the maze season. Some people have actually had to spend the night in a maze, waiting to be rescued. One couple lost their three-year-old in a maze who was thankfully found safe. If you think about it, a maze is a good metaphor for when we're trying to find our way through a difficult and puzzling time in our lives, time of decision or crisis, relational stress, or a health challenge. Poet David Barber launches his poem Corn Maze with the words, here is where you can get nowhere faster than ever as you go under deeper and deeper. He could be talking about life, not just corn mazes. If ever poet Robert Frost's truism was true, it's especially true for maze walking. The best way out is always through. Psalm 25 is a way through the maze psalm. Attributed to David, king of Israel, and coiner of the phrase, and the inspired phrase, the Lord is my shepherd, the psalm prays for guidance and leading from the Lord. Ways and paths and pathways are all over Psalm 25. Listen, Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. For Christian believers, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the way in, that is, the way that leads into heaven, into eternal life. It's no secret that Jesus called himself the way, as in, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We also know that the first Christians were called followers of the way and those belonging to the way. For sure, that meant Christians had come to know the way of salvation, Jesus Christ. 1,000 years earlier, David had sung in this psalm, you are the way of my salvation. Christians know that the way in is only through faith in Jesus Christ. How blessed are we to know the way into the kingdom. But a theology of the way is incomplete if we stop there. When life puzzles us, closes in on us, or falls apart around us, when we feel like we're lost alone in a corn maze as the sun sets, then the gospel of Jesus Christ, our relationship with Christ, provides a way through and ultimately a way out. So what kind of a mess had King David gotten himself into as he composes Psalm 25? What had him puzzled as he begged for a way through and out? It helps a bit to know that this psalm is an alphabetic acrostic where each verse or half verse begins with a new letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The Hebrew alphabet has 22 letters, so that each of the 22 verses in Psalm 25 begins with a new letter in the Hebrew alphabet, Aleph, Beth, Gimel, etc. If you were to write an alphabetic acrostic song lyric in English today, you might have 26 lines, each starting with a new letter of the alphabet from A to Z. Good luck, by the way, with Q and Z. Quiet, my spirit, Lord, or zany is the world around me. It's likely that the acrostic psalms in the Bible, there are 8 of them, were written in this way to help with memorization. As people put the psalm to work in their lives, they'd recite the psalm with some help from their alphabet. Anyway, because this inspired psalm is an acrostic, it can be hard to follow David's train of thought. He seems to be all over the place in the psalm, wandering from one thought or emotion to another and all that alphabetically. I think we know what that's like when life becomes a mess or a maze. We may try to bring some order to it. We may attempt to navigate it with the precision of an engineer or the cadence of a songwriter or the determination of a bulldozer, but we can still find ourselves lost and looking for a way through and out. We can, if we look closely, get a sense of David's struggle scattered throughout the psalm. Frankly, there's enough here for every one of us to find some touch point with his struggles. There is conflict. In verse 2, he prays, let not my enemies exult over me. In verse 19, consider how many are my foes and with what violent hatred they hate me. So King David was embroiled in conflict. There's also loneliness. I am lonely and afflicted, he says in verse 16. There's something worse than suffering, that suffering alone. Never walk a maze alone, the guidelines say. David was not alone, but he was lonely. David also struggles with guilt in the psalm, particularly guilt over sins committed years ago when he was young. Our sins may be forgiven and forgotten by God, but they can come back to haunt us. It's not uncommon for Christians to talk about sins that go way back to when they were young, the way that maybe they had treated a family member, the guilt of an abortion that goes back 30 years, the horrific violence still haunting a combat veteran. So David prays in verse 7, remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. And again at the very center of the psalm, in verse 11, for your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great. And David is afflicted and under attack. He prays in verses 17 and 18, the troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Consider my affliction and my trouble. You know what it's like to carry a burden, to wage a personal battle, to suffer with no end in sight, to have the troubles of your heart enlarged, as David puts it. And it all has him wondering and longing and fatiguing and waiting. For you I wait all the day long, he prays in verse 5. For I wait for you, he prays near the end of the psalm in verse 21. This is a confounding maze for David, a multifaceted challenge over time. He's been walking the maze for some time and he can't see over the stalks of corn. I know you must be thinking, wow, David was a mess. How does a man after God's own heart get to a point where he's such a bundle of woes? What happened to the perfect specimen of a human being we know from Michelangelo's sculpture? Is this just one more stained hero? But hold on. Listen to David sing his song. Really listen to his inspired lyrics. And you'll see God showing us an inspired way through the mazes of our lives. It begins with self-awareness, knowing yourself well enough to name the struggles you face. David gets an A for self-awareness. He can name his struggles, all right. We've already seen that. Yet for those of us who follow the way through and the way out, there must be more. David's secret for getting through the maze is not just in self-awareness or self-care or self-improvement or self-actualization. Rather, as he puts it in verse 15, my eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. We know this Lord, even more than David knew the Lord, because of Jesus Christ. In Jesus, all the promises of God, all the covenants have been fulfilled. By faith, we have watched Jesus Christ navigate conflict, affliction, suffering, loneliness, fatigue. In the maze of testing and obedience, Jesus carried our sins for our pardon all the way through the cross, through his resurrection, and on to his ascension from the maze until he was finally home again with the Father. He walked the maze with his eyes on his Father. From the cross, he quoted Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? But in his last breath from the cross, he prayed from Psalm 31, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. His eyes were on his Father. The gospel of Jesus Christ provides the way into heaven, but it also provides the motivation and the pattern for the way through life's mazes. So we focus on the Godward side when life becomes a maze. It may be getting dark, and the corn stalks may seem taller and taller, and nowhere is there an exit sign, but our eyes are on the Lord, who the Lord is, what the Lord does. In verse 14, David sings, the friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant. David has a friend in the maze, the Lord, Yahweh, maker of heaven and earth, redeemer of Israel. David calls the great I am his friend. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him. And David talks about the Lord, and he talks to the Lord as a friend. The Lord is full of mercy, steadfast love, goodness, and faithfulness. David's eyes are on the Lord. You are the God of my salvation, David sings in verse 5. He will not wallow while he waits. He will focus on the Lord. I take refuge in you, he sings in verse 20. Perspective, faith perspective, is everything in the maze. You can lose sight of God, or you can stay riveted to the God who sent Jesus to be the friend of sinners, your friend, the God whom you trust for your salvation, the God who has never let you down, the God who keeps his promises. Grace has gotten you through before, and grace will get you through again. When life becomes a puzzle, we focus on the Godward side. And David stays teachable through the struggle. This is a second way through the maze. Be teachable. Teach me your paths, David prays in verse 4. The Lord leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way, he sings in verse 9. So we stay teachable. We stay humble enough to learn something along the way. It's not just about getting out of the maze. It's learning along the way. It's being stronger by God's grace on the other side because we grew in faith, hope, and love. So on the way through, we are teachable. A third way through the maze found in this psalm is how David recognizes the role sin has played in his predicament. In other words, on the way through, confess your sins. Pardon my guilt, David prays in verse 11. The link between his struggles and his sins shows up in verse 18. Consider my affliction and my trouble and forgive all my sins. We are sometimes victims as we make our way through the maze. Often, though, our struggles and our pain are the results of a sinful world and our own sinful choices. So on the way through the maze, we confess our sins and receive forgiveness. We make our way through the maze with a clean heart. A fourth way through the maze is staying true to our identity and our values. David prays near the end of the psalm, "May integrity and uprightness preserve me." You belong to God. You're a baptized child of God, a treasure in God's heart, worth the sacrifice of God's only Son. In the maze, stay true to that identity. Integrity means you are who you are, who you are. Integrity means you refuse to give up your identity in Christ for some quick way out. Uprightness means your values and your ethics match up with who you are. You walk the way of the maze as a disciple of Jesus Christ. So on the way through the maze, we define our identity and our values. Finally, in the last verse of Psalm 25, David prays, "Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles." David expands the circle of his prayer to include all of Israel, his nation. He prays for others. It's what Jesus did the night before he gave his life for us. He prayed for his disciples, for all who would come after them. So in the maze, we are not blind to the needs of others. The tall corn can limit our vision if we let it. Lost and troubled, we still pray for others. David's words in Psalm 25, in the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, show us the way through the maze. We focus on the Godward side. We remain humble enough to be taught. We confess and receive pardon for the role of sin in our predicament. We stay true to our identity and values. And we expand the circle of prayer to include others. We will be blessed to follow David's way through the maze, not in obedience to some legalistic list of shoulds or have-tos, but in response to the gracious God we have come to know and love in Jesus Christ. For Jesus, our Savior, the best way out was through. For us, that has made all the difference. We follow where he leads. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please pray with me. Lord, when life leaves us puzzled or afraid, entrapped with no way out, turn our eyes toward you and take us through by grace. In the name of Jesus, who is our way of salvation and our way through the maze. Amen.
You're listening to The Lutheran Hour. Still ahead, we'll talk with Bible scholar and author Dr. Tim Seleska. from a setting of Psalm 25, the music of K. Lee Scott. Joining us now, here's Lutheran Hour speaker, Dr. Michael Ziegler.
We're visiting again with Dr. Tim Seleska, professor, author of a commentary on the Psalms of the Old Testament. Welcome back, Tim.
Thank you very much, Michael.
Now, as I hear Psalm 25, there's a lot I can identify with in it. The feeling lost in the corn maze, like Dr. Natisty discussed in the message, feeling confused, feeling guilty, needing direction and teaching. But then on the other hand, there are points that I don't identify with as well, such as the talk about the enemies, the people who hate him with this violent hatred. So it raises this bigger question as we read the Psalms and we encounter things that we can't identify with. We try to pray them as our own prayers. How do we do that? Aren't we supposed to identify with it all? Because it's God's word, right?
Right. Here is the difference between saying a psalm in worship and actually meditating on it. Because when you're singing it or saying it in worship, you don't have time to ask yourself those kind of questions. And they kind of go right past you. Hmm. But meditation, first of all, entails that you slow down. And as I've mentioned before, start to have a conversation with yourself and the psalm. And one of the most important questions that you can ask yourself is, how and where do I identify with what the psalmist is saying? I mean, notice one of the assumptions are that we identify with the beliefs of the author. So sometimes that seems very simple, but you should still stop and say, is that really what I believe? Do I really identify with that? Something as simple as, the Lord is my shepherd. Ask yourself, do I really believe the Lord is my shepherd? What does that look like? All those kinds of things. So the same thing here. When we have trouble, I think the first thing we should say is, I'm having trouble identifying with this author's experience and these words. I don't like the words. They make me feel uncomfortable. Just admit that. That's part of what it means being honest with God and your heart. It's just like talking with a stranger or a friend even, and they tell you something you will be able to resonate with and identify with, very simple. Other times they will say things that are strange and foreign to you, that are outside your experience, that you feel uncomfortable with. Does that mean you stop listening or that you give up or what they're saying is not important? Of course not. You keep listening and trying and seeking to understand. And I would say we take the same thing with the Psalms, which is what makes them so great. I also realize that in the larger picture of the scriptures, Paul reminds us, for example, that we don't fight against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual powers. So we, in a sense, start to put the psalm within that background. Ah, there are foes out there. Again, we have to read the Psalms with humility and with an eye to ourselves as sinners first. Especially when we approach questions that have to do with the enemies and the expressions that we see in the Psalms.
Psalm 25 brings up the enemies, and it's rather tame to
some others
where we go from complaining about enemies to actually cursing enemies. I think you mentioned somewhere in your commentary that there are 100 verses in the Psalms of these active cursing of enemies. So it's not a minor theme. So we come against these psalms, come to these psalms, and they just sound strange and offensive to us. So let's say some more about that.
Throughout the psalms, people are going to see this dichotomy between those who are God's people and those who are enemies of God. The righteous, the unrighteous, it calls them the wicked versus those who are his, and on. There's that dichotomy that is in the world and is a reality of God's kingdom. But on this side of Jesus' second coming, the distinctions are blurred. It's like the parable of the weeds that grow up in the wheat. And
disciples
want to do, let's just sort these guys out. Not right now. Yeah. What does Jesus say? Love your enemy. So the challenging work is to love, to bring people the gospel, to not react in anger, and wait for Jesus to come again in judgment. The Psalms give voice to it. The Psalms get your anger out, so to speak. Jesus tells us then, go love your neighbor. Go love your enemies, turn the other cheek.
Like you said, it takes us somewhere. After he gets all out, that, you know, just spews it all out, he comes back around and says, "Search me, O God, test me, try me, see if there's any harmful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way."
See, in a sense, the Psalms can offer healing for the heart because they are so honest. They get it out and they give voice to these darkest, darkest thoughts. God can take them.
Yeah.
And offer forgiveness in his gospel and mercy in his gospel. And so in a sense, praying those and thinking about them and then reminding yourself of who you are as one of God's children and what Jesus has done for you as a miserable sinner, as God's own enemy, as someone who was not reconciled to him, to remember to have compassion on those who fight the gospel, fight the kingdom, who live in darkness. We too are sinners with deep, dark thoughts, and God redeemed us.
Well, thank you again for joining us, helping us approach the Psalms like a conversation, some with strangers, some with friends, but always leading us in conversation closer to the character of Jesus Christ.
You're welcome.
Now Dr. Natasdy leads us in praying the Lord's Prayer.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
The Lutheran Hour is brought to you each week through the support of our faithful listeners. We rely on your prayers and gifts. To learn how you can support and extend the worldwide outreach of the Lutheran Hour, go to LutheranHour.org. And join us again next week as we welcome guest speaker Pastor Keith Haberstock from Alberta, Canada. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries. Wisconsin's beautiful Northwoods. 98Q Country is 98.3 FM WCQM Park Falls, a civic media station.
The members of Peace Lutheran Church in Park Falls now invite you to join them in their regular Sunday morning service of worship. Now, in their 70th year of broadcasting, Peace Lutheran Church offers these services in order to bring the comfort and instruction of God's holy word to the sick, the shut-in, and the traveler. Liturgy for today comes from the Lutheran Service Book, Divine Service 3, page 184. Hymns today are from the Lutheran Service Book, number 812, Come, Let Us Join Our Cheerful Songs, number 935, Tell Out My Soul the Greatness of the Lord, number 625, Lord Jesus Christ, Life-Giving Bread, number 557, Seek Where You May to Find a Way, and number 742, For Me to Live is Jesus. Following the opening hymn, Pastor Reverend Samuel Morshing will lead the congregation in worship. The sermon theme is Promoted in Christ. The sermon text is Luke 14, 1 through 11. We take you now to the sanctuary of Peace Lutheran Church,